Writer Kathleen Flynn is the author of three books, and the latest one, she admittedly says, is a surprisingly good family memoir. Burnt Toast Makes You Sing Good. And welcome to El Paso Primetime, Kathleen. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Thank you.
An interesting read for your third book called Burnt Toast Makes You Sing Good. An interesting set of memoirs, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to think of it as a kind of a set of multi-generational memoir because I originally wanted to write about my parents. I think a lot of people have kind of gotten this idea that it's a childhood memoir, but I'm not actually in the book for about until at least chapter six, because I became really interested in my parents because they were children during the Great Depression, and that generation is called the Silent Generation, and you don't hear a lot about that group of people. We hear a lot about the Greatest Generation and then the boomers, but they're sort of this other group who are quite different from both of those sets of those two generations. And so I wanted to write about them. And then when I wrote about their whole story, then I had to write about my grandparents, and then I ended up writing about my great-grandparents. And so that's kind of how that happened. So it really ends up being about three generations of people, and it turned out, and I did not know a few things when I started, which is one, that there were professional cooks in every single generation, which explains a lot about why I like to cook. I also found out there was some bootlegging and some bigamy, and that just made it even more fun.
I wonder if that runs in just about everybody's silent generation family, because what you've just detailed in your book and just now what you shared with us kind of runs in my family in some forms.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's quite an interesting thing. I'm rethinking the thought of writing the memoirs now that I've had a chance to look your book over. And more so, you just wrote a nice little piece over in Biographile.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
As I read that, I kept thinking, my goodness, why don't more people write their memoirs, at least just for themselves?
Yeah, I think that for me, in the story that I wrote on that site, they had asked me what was the most surprising thing that you found writing a memoir about, about my family. And, I really thought it was going to be kind of this very sweet sort of, look back during the Depression and like whatever. And it really turned out that I didn't realize how hard the lives of my ancestors were at the time that they came over. I mean, I think, there's a lot of discussion around immigration these days. And, my great-grandmother came over from Sweden when she was 17, and she had a single piece of luggage, and she didn't speak any English. And she assumed that she'd become a housemaid because that's what normally girls did. But then she found out cooks got paid a little more. So she said, oh, yeah, I'm a cook. And she ended up, sleeping on the floor of one of her employers in their basement, and saved all her money and then brought over two of her brothers. And then they got a little place and they all slept on the floor and they saved all their money and they brought their whole family over. And I kind of look back at how difficult that was, and looking at how hard a time all these people had during, Depression, and then during, World War II, and then during Korea, in which my father fought and nearly died. And we don't really, I think we kind of get lost in sort of our everyday story, that we don't necessarily think back to kind of those people who came before us and made our lives a lot easier often. and I also was really taken by things that I, obviously the whole bootlegging story was great, and, it's how my grandfather ended up becoming a cook in San Antonio,
mm-hmm.
Texas, and he always loved San Antonio for the rest of his life, and my grandfather being, having multiple wives and changing his name, it turned out my last name shouldn't be Flynn, but what really struck me, and I wrote that in that piece, was the really good things that I didn't know, like how generous my grandparents were. And the lasting kind of takeaway I have from writing this book was, wow, I really need to think so much more about living a generous life and being really thoughtful and generous and taking care of my neighbors, because that is ultimately the legacy that my grandparents left me, and I never really thought about it, and I didn't even know that much about it.
Well, what's really fascinating about the story, it's really heart-touching for me, especially reading your book, is how you finally have had an opportunity to put the legacy out there for others to enjoy and to maybe even build their lives around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I recently went through and did a big tour around the state of Michigan because my book was named 2015 Michigan Notable Book, and I went and did this big tour, and I was so surprised how many people came up to me and said, gosh, you know, your family just sounds like my family. It's just what you just said, you know, mm-hmm. when we first started talking. And I've heard from people who've read this book in particular have said, wow, I decided to go back and interview my grandparents or interview my grandmother or my mother and just ask their stories and, you know, record it while I can. Because, you know, often these stories, you know, they go away when people do. If we don't take the time to really sit down and ask some questions. And, you know, you're a radio interviewer. The best answers come from the simplest questions.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you don't have to be a trained interviewer. You just say, what was it like growing up as a kid, Grandma? And there you go. And you can get this extraordinary story about things you never knew. And I'm so thankful that I did this book, and then I talked to my mother, and I talked to all these relatives, including two relatives who've died since I started this project, and I just think I'm so grateful for that opportunity, and I really encourage people to do the same and to really ask some hard questions about those stories that people tell, because you know those stories of all families have them, and they're like, oh, Renee, uncle so and so did blah blah blah. And you start asking some hard questions and doing a little research, sometimes you find there's a really much bigger story that nobody really wanted to talk about.
Of the three books that you've written, is this your favorite of them all?
I think so, yeah. I don't know if you can say this, having written three memoirs, and you know, but I think this is the most personal. You know, I mean, my first book was about studying, you know, French cuisine in Paris and falling in love with my husband. And there is an embarrassing admission that we once broke a bed, and that's pretty personal. but I think that when I go back and read that book, and I recently did, and it's like someone else wrote it, and I thought, this isn't half bad. But I read it, and I feel like I don't let people that close in that book. Mm-hmm. And my second book is really not a memoir. It was more about these women in this project in which I taught them how to cook. And I felt like that was much more of a journalistic endeavor, even though there's definitely some autobiographical material in it. To me, this is really the first really truly personal book. And I don't know. I don't know if I could write another book that is that personal. After this, I think I'm going to take a little break and not write another memoir for a while.
But do you think, having done the three books, having done especially this one, has it changed your method of being a journalist when you walk into a situation? I mean, you've written so many things for the Sun Times and the Trib and all kinds mm-hmm. of things. I mean, really and truly, has this kind of changed the modus operandi when you walk into a story?
I think that it taught me to, I think I've always looked for the biography in every story. And I started that back in the day. My best job ever was writing obituaries. I did that when I was 22, 23 years old in Sarasota, Florida, which, by the way, is a really busy job to write obituaries in Sarasota, Florida. They say old people live in Miami, but their parents live in Sarasota. And so I think over the time that I worked on the obituary desk that I wrote, I did the short obituaries for about 5,000 individuals, and then I did daily obituaries, sort of feature obituaries, for another 300 people. And it was kind of, at the time, it was in the 90s, it became really popular to write about sort of average people, the guy lived down the street, or the guy had been the postman for 20 years and that kind of thing. And I learned a lot, probably the most, from that experience and talking to people when they are very vulnerable, but very open to telling stories and they want to share this person, that they're grieving for.
Mm-hmm.
And, how do you write about somebody's life in like 8 column inches in a newspaper? Because you have to save space for the survivors and the services and the donations. And this book brought me back to that. I felt like this was a very cyclical process, that I felt like I had gotten into telling very long form through writing books, but I think I really came back to telling a lot of small stories and pulling them back. And the small stories are not necessarily small, because they're about people. And at the end of the day, everyone's life is big to themselves or to someone around them.
The way that you've crafted this book, and more so the way that you've crafted each and every story, tells me that you have a big heart, and that comes from your grandparents.
Thanks. I think it does come from my grandparents. I still get letters and notes from people who knew my grandparents, who have read this book, who tell me stories about, oh, I remember there was this winter and we didn't have any food, and your grandfather brought over, 10 pounds of dried beans that he'd grown and dried himself, and, or he brought over, sausage that he'd made himself, and all these stories keep coming about. I mean, and my grandfather died in 1972 or 1974, and so he's been gone a long time, but his presence is still definitely felt by people who knew him or relatives who still talk about him.
Well, there's a quote that you've quoted from him. You can't give it away. It always comes back to you. And for you, all of these stories about your grandparents and the relationship that you've had with them over the years, including today, just shows that you have this incredible knack for not only giving away your generosity, but it all comes back to you in the form of more stories that just really accents your entire life.
That's a great way to sum it up. I really feel very blessed and lucky to have had these people in my life. And I think now I really, when I'm working on another book, and that book is actually, I just became very interested in immigrant stories, and it's about women immigrants who've made their life, kind of changed their life through cooking in one way or another. And it's remarkable to me to see kind of those people who are in the space where my great-grandmother was at the beginning of that journey, and to see the struggles and see how hard it is, and to hopefully offer a hand of generosity in telling their story.
Oh, wonderful. Well, when that comes to fruition, I'd love to have you come back to El Paso Primetime, and let's sit and have a conversation about those stories. I'd love to read those as well.
Well, great. Thank you, Dennis. I appreciate that.
And I appreciate you taking the time to out of your day. I know it's a busy day. You have a thunderstorm going on in the back. That's really nice, actually. That makes me it makes me feel like we're sitting on your front porch. The only thing that's missing is maybe a lemonade and something.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us on El Paso Primetime. And I wish you the best of luck with more sales on this book, available just about everywhere, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, whole nine yards. And again, mi casa, su casa, when you get ready to put out your random thoughts, I certainly would love to have you come back to the radio station.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Dennis. It's been a pleasure.